Proverbs 13:13. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather together this evening. We pray, God, that your word would be honored and glorified now, that you would help us to just concentrate on what the Holy Spirit has for us in this hour. Whether we're here or whether we're on the online group tonight, this is for all of us that know the Lord. If there's someone that doesn't know you tonight, I pray you'd convict them of their need of a Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week we began to talk about our walk with God. We learned about a man named Enoch who walked with God. We learned about a man named Noah who walked with God. We find those in the book of Genesis. The word despiseth in our text tonight, this is just a quick review. The word despiseth in Proverbs 13:13 means does not give attention to. I think that's what really has maybe grabbed a hold of my attention is, do I give the right attention to the Word of God? Whether it's someone preaching it or someone teaching it, but really what we're talking about is not that part of our walk with God, although, you know, our Christian life needs church. Our Christian life needs preaching. Our Christian life needs teaching. But that's normally only a couple of times a week. What about the rest of the week? What about the rest of the hours in the day? What about the rest of the days of the week where we don't have church meetings? We don't have a missions conference every week. We don't have a revival every week in the sense of meeting together. Although lately we've had opportunities, you know, we have preaching here on Friday nights with RU. Praise the Lord, by the way, this Friday night, 7 o'clock. If you've never attended, this will be the great night to come. We had visitors last Friday night for the first time at RU. These two gentlemen over here on my left. We thank the Lord for that. Visitors the previous week at RU. And so there are more opportunities, but we're talking about every day as Christians, there needs to be a time where we dedicate to the Word of God. And if we're not giving attention to the Word of God, that's what it means here, despising the Word of God. By the way, I think we talked about this last week, we can have the Word of God open and even be reading it and not really giving it attention. There's a commercial on Carrie Radio, maybe you've heard it before. I just heard it the other day and it reminded me of this, about what we're talking about. And there's a gentleman on there and he's praying. And on this commercial, he's praying and he's saying, you know, dear God, help me with this, help me with that. One of them, he said, dear God, help me in my marriage. And then all of a sudden, his wife says, honey, did you say we were going to have a date? And I may be mixing it up. And then he says, dear God, please help me with my kids. And then his kids burst in the room and interrupt his prayer time. And all these things keep interrupting his prayer and his boss and getting the work done and things like that. And he's saying, oh, I don't have time to pray. And we would all have to be honest. We would all need to be honest tonight that there have been times when we've been reading the Bible and thinking about something else. You know how easy that is? That's very easy. And I would raise both hands and say I'm very guilty of that at times. I'm reading the Bible, but I'm thinking about something I need to get done at 5 o'clock or 3 o'clock or tomorrow or next week, or I'm even sometimes thinking about what happened 3 days ago. That's not giving proper attention to. My mind is not focused on the Scripture. My mind is not focused on what God has for me. And that's going to affect my walk with God. God wants my attention. By the way, God deserves my attention. God deserves our attention. And sometimes he's had to do some things to get my attention. How about you? Okay, I'm listening. Well, it happens. Anyway, despiseth means does not give proper attention to. We talked about that last week. Let's see here. Oh, we made this a thought, and this is really is mentioned as well in RU. Pastor Nathan was mentioning it to me after the fact, but I remember hearing it. But actually, when I wrote this down, I did not remember that it was part of what RU teaches, but I'm thankful for how God is weaving it all together. And that is the fact that we're not just opening God's Word to get more information. You can get information on Google, right? Google's got all kinds of information. It's even got information about God on there, or the Bible on there. You know what? When I'm opening this, I'm looking for transformation. I'm looking to be my mind to be renewed. No, I believe that there's no one that God's word cannot transform. No one. There's no sinner. I'm a sinner tonight. How about you? Okay? There's no sinner. Julia, you raised your hand. I saw that down there. You weren't just scratching your head? Good. Me and Julia. Nobody else raised their hand. Just me and Julia. Okay. I think, Brother Kim, you raised your hand. I think we all knew that. I'm just kidding around, okay? So I'm just saying that this word is so powerful, it doesn't matter. You say, oh, but you don't know what's in my past. I don't need to know what's in your past. I know this book transformed Saul into Paul. The living word transformed Saul into Paul. And so God is in the transforming business. He does it through his word. When you're having a bad day, you know what you need? You need God's word. When you're depressed, you know what you need? You need God's word. When you're fearful, do you know what you need? God's word. God's word is the greatest pill for everyone. I'm not saying don't take things if your doctor wants you taking things. I'm just saying that so many times we go to everything under the sun, and yet if we were walking in this book right here, we would be able to bring up verses from this book that can just take care of everything that comes into our mind. There's so many fears that come into our mind, and I'm talking about me. There's so many things, but with this book, we can cast those things down. There's so many imaginations. That's what Paul called them, right? Imaginations are things that may never even happen. But the devil's got us thinking about them all the time. But if we have a walk with God, as soon as the devil tries to bring that thought into our mind, we can say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am casting that thought down. God, help me right now, please. And if it's exalted itself against the knowledge of Christ, cast it down. So, that's what we were talking about, transformation. All right, walk with God. Let's, part two. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And one of the other statements that we made last week is that only born-again Christians can walk with God. Okay? So, you know, I was thinking about this earlier today, just trying to kind of meditating and thinking about some things in my office, and I was thinking, you know, some people might say, well, I just don't get anything out of the Bible. I've had people tell me that before. I just don't get anything out of the Bible. Well, you know, it's impossible to get anything out of the Bible if you're not a child of God. So I'm not saying that you're not a child of God tonight, but I am saying this. Do you know that you've been saved? Online, or do you know that you've been saved? You know, every time I read the Bible, I just don't get anything out of it. Folks, if you're saved, we're going to look at something here in a minute just to help us and remind us. If you're saved, you have the author in you. How can you not get something out of the Bible when the author lives inside of you? You know, that's the best place to go if you're reading a book and you go down the end of it and think, oh, I wonder what the author meant about this. If we could only call up the author. You know, a lot of my books are by dead people. Not when they wrote the book, but they're dead now. So I can't call them up and say, hey, what did you mean in chapter 3, page 3? But you know what? The Holy Spirit is indwelling every believer. And the Holy Spirit is the author of this book. Look what it says there in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Verse 22. Who hath sealed us, who hath also sealed us, and given the earnest of the Spirit, where? In our hearts. So if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit, you have God in His Spirit, God's Spirit, living inside of you. He will never leave you, He will never forsake you. Meaning, if you have God's Spirit living inside of you, then greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. How do we know these things? We know these things by reading the Bible. Look over, please, if you would, with me, back to Romans 8. Romans 8. So if we're going to walk with God, we have to be saved first. We have to know Jesus Christ is our personal Savior. We cannot have a walk with God without Christ's blood being applied to our sin record. And when that takes place, by faith, it's like a snap of a finger. We don't get saved over a period of time. We get saved by faith. Whenever that decision is made, it's an immediate transaction. And the Holy Spirit becomes to dwell in you and in me. Notice what it says in Romans 8:8 first. Let's just read verse 8. It's a small one. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the who? Spirit, capital S. If so be that the what? Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So, again, you're either saved tonight or you're not saved tonight. If you're saved, that's who we're trying to help tonight. Maybe we're trying to help unsaved people too, but we're just trying to clarify that a walk with God happens because we have the Spirit of God inside of us. Some of you got saved within the last week. That means you have the Spirit of God in you tonight. Praise the Lord. Some of you got saved 10 years ago. You still have the Spirit of God in you tonight. There's nothing I can do and you can do that would cause the Spirit of God to leave us. Nothing. And so, that's important. John 16. It's important to recognize that with the Spirit of God, we now have the ability to walk with God. Now, we go everywhere with the Spirit. Everywhere I go, God's Spirit goes with me. Remember, He is omnipresent. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. And the Spirit is in us. He's in you. He's in me. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. That's a good thing. Look what it says in chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the who? Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you. This is Jesus speaking. He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. We're focusing on the fact that the Spirit is of truth, and He will guide us into all truth. So God's Spirit leads us into truth. Now, so I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, so I have the opportunity now to have a daily walk with God. But there is something that gets in the way of our walk with God. Okay? That's sin. Unconfessed sin gets in the way of my walk with God. The Bible tells me much about this. A couple of verses, let's look at these, in the Old Testament. Psalm 66. And these might be review, or they might be new. If they're new, write them down. These are verses to go to, show people that when you sin, okay, here's something I'm going to maybe park in just quickly. I don't know, maybe longer than quickly. There's a difference between sinning before we get saved and sinning after we get saved. Now, it's still sin, okay? I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, after I get saved, who lives in me? Holy Spirit. Was the Holy Spirit in me before I was saved? No. Now, I have the Holy Spirit in me after I'm a Christian. Before I get saved, no Holy Spirit, no walk with God, going to hell if I die. After I get saved, I can walk with God, I have the Holy Spirit, and when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. You understand that? But I'm still capable of sinning. What does that do? Okay, let's see what it says in Isaiah 50 or Psalm 66, verse 18. Psalm 66, 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. the Lord will not hear me. So if I have, if this is now, if I'm saved and on my way to heaven, and I have sin, I have unconfessed sin in my life, my walk with God is going to be greatly prohibited. God says, I'm not going to hear you. He didn't say that I'm going to kick you out of my family. But he did say, I'm not going to hear you. Meaning, my relationship is still intact. I'm still saved. But my fellowship, my walk with God, is now cut off. Let's see another verse. Go to Isaiah 59. One of the effects of sin after we get saved is what we're talking about right now. After we get saved, my sin hinders my fellowship with God. Because remember, God is holy. So, if I have sin in my life, this is why, before we open the Bible in the morning, I'm kind of bouncing around a little bit, but just stay with me. Before I open this book in the morning, I need to ask God, God, is there anything in my life that's against you that maybe I don't remember? Maybe I forgot? That can happen, right? Some of it we don't need a reminder. Some of it we know we got to deal with. There's no point in opening this up and really getting into it if you have unconfessed sin. Because sin hinders my walk with God. So I want to confess any known sin before I even get into this book. I want to say, God, is there anything in my life? Is there anything in my heart right now? Is there any bitterness? Is there any anger? Is there any unforgiveness? Please show me. I want to confess it. I'm not getting saved again. That's already happened. But I want God to hear me. I'm about to pray for 3 missionary families. I want God to hear me. I don't want it to bounce off the wall and come back down. It's kind of tongue-in-cheek. Look at Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. God's got a powerful hand. Neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. He can hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. What hinders my walk with God? Sin hinders my walk with God. Does God want to walk with me? Yes. Does God want to help me? Yes. Does God want to hear me? Yes. Does God want me to talk to him? Yes. So it would be wise in our walk with God, before we even get into the Word of God, it would be wise to ask God's Spirit, who's living in me, to reveal any unconfessed sin. And then he brings to mind something, or you already know something. Again, this isn't like this. I don't want you to think that this is 2 and 3 hours. It doesn't take that long. But we don't want to. We're talking about getting into this book. We're talking about spending time with the Lord. Then we don't want to be. We don't want our sin to get in the way of that. That could be another reason why you're not getting something out of the Bible. It's not that you're not saved. Or it's not that I'm not saved. It's because I've got something between me and God and I've not confessed it yet. So, obviously, I can't walk with God if I'm lost. But even if I try to walk with God and I'm saved and I've got a bunch of unconfessed sin, it's not going to be as valuable as it would be. So, we start off with that. God, is there anything? Spirit, would you show me? Is there anything in there? Now, we clear all that up. And by the way, 1 John 1:9, praise the Lord. Right? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, what's the word confess mean? Confess means to agree with God. If we confess our sin, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9 is written to believers. In fact, we're going to talk about 1 John in a little bit. So I'm not asking Jesus to save me again. I'm asking God to forgive me of my bad attitude. I'm asking God to forgive me for my quick tongue. I'm asking God to forgive me of my fear. Because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I'm asking God to forgive me. You see, think about this for a minute. Any of you that have children know that your children don't always obey you 100% of the time. Right? Or do they all obey you all the time? Okay. Nobody, I mean. Of course. You know why? Because they're just like you. They're just like me. You know? They sin by nature. Right? But I don't go to them. I didn't go to my kids the first time they sin. You know, I guess they sinned when they were babies too, but I wouldn't have done this as a baby. But, you know, as a toddler, the first time they sin, oh, okay, Caleb, that's it. You're out of here. You're no longer my son. Bye. It's not how God treats us. When we sin, we're still His child, but what does it do? It affects our fellowship. And as the kids got older and the sin became a little bit more rebellious, I guess, you know, it did hurt more when they got older and they specifically went right against what I asked them to do. They just turned right ahead and did whatever they wanted. But I didn't, even in that case, I didn't say, oh, that's it, you're gone. Pack your bags, out you go. You're no longer my daughter or my son. No. No, but what does it do? What does it affect? It affects our fellowship. But any time we would ask for forgiveness, we give it. Or we need forgiveness, God always gives it to us. So as soon as I come to know Christ as Savior, a transaction takes place that is irreversible. Remember, God is in me now. The Holy Spirit is in me now. In you now. So, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So we get up in the morning. We know we got to walk with God. We want to walk with God. I mean, that's really a thing too. That we want to seek is we want to seek that to be a desire. One of those, you know, get to, not have to. And for me, that's when it's best for me is in the morning. I don't know. Maybe for you, it's another time. But here's something very important as well. We don't just open the Bible and just start reading it. We've made sure that everything is right between us and the Lord. And now, remember, who is in you? God's Spirit, right? Who wrote the Bible? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Spirit of God, Holy Ghost. That's who's in us. So now, we ask the Holy Spirit to help us and teach us what we're about to read. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. You realize God has something for us prepared every day. I've said this before, and it's something I always think about when I think of something prepared. That whenever we would go visit my grandmother in Ohio, she had prepared a blackberry pie. I mean, I can see right now walking in the door, washer and dryer over here, kitchen table over here, and the stove and wrapped all the way around and right over there in the corner. Nope, not there. Right over there in the corner on the countertop was a blackberry pie. It had already been baked earlier in the day. I could never have a piece late at night. My parents wouldn't let me. But I'd have one for breakfast if at all possible. In fact, my grandma would have given me one for breakfast if I wanted it, I think. I was spoiled, still am. But she prepared that. She used to put me in a three-wheeled bicycle in the basket in the back of it and ride me around the country roads of Albany, Ohio, population several hundred maybe. And then my parents took me to Chattanooga, Tennessee, and broke her heart forever. When I came back, well, there's that pie. You know what? Greater than a blackberry pie, far greater than a blackberry pie, is every day when you get up, there's something sitting, waiting in this book. God has prepared for you for that day. I mean, you know this. There have been times when you read a passage and you really didn't know why until later in the day. It was prepared for you for that day. That's how we want to go into this. That's how we want to go into our walk with God. God, I can't wait to see what you've prepared for me in your word today. Holy Spirit, whatever you've prepared for me, teach it to me today. 13, verse 10, excuse me. But God hath revealed them unto us. Revealed them, what's them? What he's prepared? He's revealed them unto us by his what? Spirit. Capital S. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the what? Deep things of God. So in you and in me is the Holy Spirit of God who's searching, knowing what you need. You can read a verse. I can read the same verse. You can see something out of it. I can see something different out of it. That's how God works. That's the walk with God that he desires for all of us to have. A walk with him that is intimate and personal. Look at verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man. It's impossible to know what God wants for my life, in myself and in my flesh. But look what Paul says. But the Spirit of God. What is God's will for my life? I only know what God's will is for my life through the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God uses the Word of God. I can't know God's mind, but I can know this book. And when I open this book, I'm opening the mind of God. This is why we ask the Holy Spirit before we open the Word of God. Holy Spirit, I don't know what God has prepared for me, but I believe there is something prepared for me today. Please give me something today. I need something from the Word of God. Verse 12. This is really where I really wanted to get. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to who? Us. Yeah, good, Blair. Us by God. How do we know what God has for us? By the Spirit of God. How do we know what God has for us individually in our walk with God? Paul says it right here, that we might know what is given to us through the Spirit of God, who's indwelling. Which things also we speak, not in the words man's wisdom teaches, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. We ask God's Spirit to teach us. Turn over to John 14, quickly. John 14. John 14, 26. Jesus said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Definitely need help with that these days. Where was that verse at? Sunday in church. It was Joshua 13, by the way, not Numbers 13. I can't believe I just messed that up. But the Lord did it for teaching me something, I'm sure. Whatsoever I've said unto you, but he shall teach you all things. So, we confess sin, we ask the Lord to help us. walking with God. Okay, I'm going to read a few practical things here that I've written down in my notes that might be already a part of your walk, but maybe not all of us. So here it is. Part of our walk with God is reading the Word of God every day. Reading the Word of God is not necessarily a walk with God, but reading the Word of God is part of our walk with God. I would encourage you to have a specific time every day when you read the Bible. Same time every day. Make sure it's a time when you're awake. For me, if I was reading my Bible at 10 o'clock at night, I would get nothing out of it. Because at 10 o'clock, my brain is already done. In fact, my brain's done well before 10 anymore. Whenever your alert time is, I don't know when you're, maybe it is 10 o'clock, you're in your prime, you're ready to go. 10 o'clock, let's go. Not me. For me, early in the morning works for me, but have a time. Keep a record of what you are reading. Now, today we have a lot of help with this. We have a lot of digital ways we can do that. I use a digital way, but I also do some other things that I'll tell you about later. But keep a record of what you are reading. Find out an amount of scripture daily that you are comfortable with and stick with it. Chapter, two chapters, three chapters, four chapters. I believe that if we're not careful, we emphasize, and I'm not against it because I try to do it every year, reading the Bible through, and we think if we can read the whole Bible in a year that we're walking with God. And maybe we are. Maybe we are. Okay, I'm not trying to be negative about it. But I think what we want is, we want this book not just to be, again, it's not about getting information, it's about getting transformation. And I learned this as a young person, repetition is the key to learning. Repetition is the key to learning. So get whatever you're comfortable with. Okay, here's some things to have with you for your Bible reading time. And again, many of these are electronically. And that's fine if you want to do that. Some people like to have the old books around. Those are good too. A Strong's Concordance. That's not in the Bible. I'm not telling you chapter and verse. But what is a Strong's Concordance? Maybe you say, what is that? Okay, a Strong's Concordance will help us to understand words in the Old Testament, which were primarily in what language? Hebrew. Strong's Concordance will help you to look up the word in the English, and then we'll look it up, and then it'll show, okay, go to this, and I can show you if you've never used one. And then in the New Testament, primarily Greek, and the same thing. Now, you can find these on blueletterbible.org. You don't even need the book. Strong's is weaved right into that. I use it almost every day of my life, blueletterbible.org, for study and for my own walk with God. Another one, though, is Unger's Bible Dictionary. Unger's Bible Dictionary. Basically, just like a dictionary, only Bible words. But then I would also go with an 1828 dictionary. 1828 dictionary. Because here's the thing. I've done this, okay? I've done this. I am confessing something to you. That I have read through 1, 2, 3, 4 chapters. But there was probably 2 or 3 words that I'm like, what is that? I just closed my Bible, went about my day. I missed out. I missed out on taking another 1 minute and looking something up and seeing what it meant. I want to eliminate that. Because see, in my mind, most of my Christian life of reading the Bible, it's been about quantity. Quantity means lots of it. And it's really a pride thing. It's a pride thing. If we're not careful, yeah, I read the Bible through 3 times this year. Okay, well, you know, if you can do that. Again, I'm not, please don't think for a minute that I'm making it's negative to read the Bible through a year. But I want to know, what did I learn? What verse did I memorize? What verse has helped me?
white out or something. Anyway,
what did I learn? What have I grown? What sin did I get help overcoming from the Word of God? What fear did God take away because of the Word of God? I skimmed right over it. I might have missed it when I was reading it on time number two through the whole Word. I've never read the Bible through three times in a year. I just grabbed that, okay? And so sometimes when we hear, you know, if you don't read the Bible through in a year, sometimes maybe we get discouraged. Well, don't get discouraged if you're not reading the whole Bible through every year. Repetition is the key to learning. In fact, I don't think I'm going to get to it tonight. I think I'll have to get to it another time. But I'm going to challenge and I'm going to encourage us to read through books of the Bible, keeping with one book of the Bible and reading it through several times, the book itself. And then going to another book of the Bible and reading it, and I'll give you that and later. It won't be tonight. But here's another thought. Stop and think about what you are reading. Stop. What does it say in Psalm 1:2? Maybe Psalm 1:1. It's easier to start with 1 and work your way down. Yep. Does anywhere in the Bible that it talk about? Well, I don't know if it says, I don't know that it says anywhere. Okay, but what the Bible focuses more on another word than reading, meditating, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. I think that's Psalm 1:2. That's it, until Kyle gave me the okay. That was Kyle, good, thank you. Not in His law does He read day and night, but I'm not saying don't read it. Think about it. That's what meditate. Remember, you've heard the illustration of the cow, right? The cow eats the grass in the morning, goes into one of his stomachs. Later on during the day, the cow brings that food out of stomach one, brings it back up into its mouth, and it chews on it some more. It gets a little more nutrients, and it swallows it down into stomach number two. Later on during the day, up it comes, a little bit more nutrients out of it. We could just, remember what we said, if we could just dwell on one verse a day for a year, 365 verses, or 366, thank you, leap year, meditate on it. I would think that we would grow stronger than if we just read it through as fast as we could. If we meditated on even one verse a day. I think we could meditate on more than one verse a day. But think about it. What is God speaking to me about? What command is there in this verse that I need to keep? Is there any promises in this verse for me? Again, this doesn't have to be 3 hours in the morning. This could be 30 minutes. But remember, we've confessed all known sin. We've asked the Holy Spirit of God to teach us. And now that 30 minutes is going to be much more productive. And if we just pulled ourselves out of bed, made the coffee or the tea, sat down, and just opened it up, started reading, praying, and yet you don't even have the right communication with God in line because of some unconfessed sin or whatever. And then how should I apply what I'm reading? What do I do? What do I do with this? God help me. Remember, you don't have to figure it out. The Holy Spirit guides us to all truth. Look, what we're talking about here isn't brand new. This is not a brand new concept. Walking with God is something that started in the Garden of Eden and it's happened for all time. But even if we were to go back to the Garden of Eden, why did Adam and Eve hide themselves? Sin why they hid themselves. But as soon as God gave them that covering from that animal skin, beautiful picture of salvation. The shed blood of Jesus, the shed blood of the animal, was a picture of the shed blood of Jesus that would come someday. Walk with God. It's my desire, Anchor Baptist Church, that we're filled with men and women, filled with all age groups, even kids learning to walk with God. That our lives begin to transform by the power of our walk with God in His Word, but also our talk with God in prayer. Got to be saved to walk with God. Once you're saved, you can walk with God anywhere, anytime. He wants that fellowship.